I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
David Mooney to make it 1-0 to Orion. And it goes.
Oh, and there's a flare on the pitch.
There's a flare on the pitch.
This is the We Are Going Up podcast. We've got the Football League covered.
Brian, you issue of thorning the side out tonight. 250 your Brentford fans in.
Welcome to episode 96 of We Are Going Up, and it's a little bit different this week, David Cameron Walker. Do you want to explain where we're off to?
We are about to enter Griffin Park, home of Brentford, for the visit of Leyton Orient, table-topping 100% unbeaten record Leyton Orient tonight.
Is this your first visit to Griffin Park?
No, actually, I've been once before. I came a good few years ago for a pre-season friendly, Watford against Brentford, a while back now. God, was that manager? I think it was when Andy Bouford was still in charge. Yeah, so I have been before, but certainly won't compare to tonight's atmosphere.
And Carl, last time you came here, it was a win for your boy Swindon.
Yeah, absolutely. Didn't make it to the playoff defeats, unfortunately, last season, thankfully. It'll be interesting to see how Brentford do perform tonight, I must admit. I mean, we talk a little about Leyton Orient and their excellent start to the season, but there are another team playing tonight, of course, and Brentford do need something from this. Their confidence will be a little bit bristle after the heartache of the playoff defeat last year. So they do need something. If they lose tonight, then there'll be a bigger gap between them and the top teams, which they can ill afford to have.
Later on in the show, we're going to be going in one of the famous four pubs, of course, a pub on each corner of the ground. So we're going to be going in there, looking back at the weekend's action, and of course you'll get to hear our reaction to the game as it takes place. But first is a little sample of what's coming up. We spoke to some Orient fans before tonight's game.
I still think that somebody's going to wake me up and we're about to play Carlisle on the first day of the season. It all doesn't feel real, to be honest.
To be fair, you know, we're just amazed. You know, can't say much more, really.
It's been an amazing start, and it's great to open the newspaper after the weekend's football and see that we're top of the league. It's brilliant.
And as well as speaking to those obviously very happy Orient fans after this superb start they've had, 7 wins from 7, we also spoke to some Brentford fans to get their reaction to their start, lying 10th as they do. Here's a little sample of what you can hear later.
I think if we win tonight, then it's a fairly decent start. But on the flip side of that, if we lose tonight, I think everyone will be saying it's been a fairly poor start to the season, considering the amount of money that we spent.
Yeah, the team have had a few changes, positive changes. They're starting to gel very well, and I think you'll see tonight an exciting attacking Brentford lineup.
Well, we only lost one game, but the team has changed around all the time. And I did read something about Orient a couple of weeks ago. One of their match reports, they had 7 players have started all 5 games at that point, or something. They've got a settled team and a good team, and I think, yeah, I'm a bit apprehensive about the season, to be honest. Yeah.
So all that to come. Are you looking forward to the game?
Very much so. Yeah. I mean, Orient have been superb this season. Brentford had a brilliant season in League One last season. You know, one of the fancy teams again this season. Certainly one of the best squads in the division. I'd say it's arguably the biggest test that Leyton Orient have had to face so far this season. So let's see how they deal with it.
Call it. What are you going for?
Should be goals. I think Leyton Orient will get something from the game. It's going to be tight. It won't be like a 4-3 thriller. But I think Leyton Orient can get something.
I agree with Carl. I think it will be tight. And I do fancy Brentford to end the 100% record. I don't necessarily think they'll beat them. So I would go for a draw if I was a betting man.
Okay, let's go inside. Okay, so we've moved inside Griffin Park now. The game's just got underway, but we're just going to quickly spend a couple of minutes talking about what a fantastic start to the season Orient have had. 7 wins from 7. The only team in the whole country with a 100% record. And as has been, I think we mentioned a couple of times on this show already this season, they're notoriously slow starters, Dave. So this has been a stunning first sort of month and a bit for Russell Slade.
Absolutely superb, yeah. I mean, last time out, they went out 5-1 winners, didn't they, against Notts County in the last game. They can't stop scoring. David Mooney, Kevin Lisby, having so far the seasons of their lives, absolutely on fire, the pair. And Dean Cox is looking as good as he did last season, if not even better. I mean, every area of the team seems to be working for them at the moment. And I guess, you know, you must just be so confident going onto a pitch knowing that you've won your first seven games in a row, no matter what team they come up against. I mean, they even put in a very good performance in the League Cup against Hull. You know, they're every time.
I mean, they've scored five on two separate occasions already this season.
And you know, that's why they'll go to a game like tonight against Brentford away from home. One of the division's fancied teams before the start of the season, came so close to promotion last season. And they won't be intimidated, they won't be scared, they'll be confident they can get a result, I'm sure.
And Carl, just a quick check of the table shows that they've already scored 21 goals in their first eight games. So I don't know what the maths is on that. Or seven games, sorry. So I don't know what the maths is on that. But that's going to be a lot of goals come the end of the season if they carry on like this.
Yeah, that will require Rachel Riley's of this world to work it out. Absolutely. And you look at them defensively as well, only conceding five goals, which is the best in the league as well. So they should come into tonight's game really full of confidence. A lot of people saying, oh, we'd be happy with a draw. But I don't think they should be. I think they could be quite happy going away with 3 points from tonight's game, looking at how well they are doing. And Brentford being mid-table, okay, they're not doing terribly. But Leighton are doing so well, they should expect to get 3 points.
I caught up with a couple of Orient fans before the game outside, and I started by asking them how confident they were that they could make 8 wins from 8 tonight at Griffin Park.
I'm fairly confident. Obviously, Brentford are a very good team. They had a great season last year, very close to getting promoted to the Championship. So, taking that into account, I think if we can come here, maybe sneak a 1-0 win, 2-1, take the 3 points, and get back to Leighton, I'll take that all day long.
Has it surprised you how well you started?
It has surprised me.
Because you're notoriously slow starters, aren't you?
Definitely, yeah. Usually we either have a great start and a bad end, or a bad start and a great end. But it's been an amazing start, and it's great to open the newspaper after the weekend's football and see that we're top of the league. It's brilliant.
To be honest, we'll be happy with a point. I'll be delighted to be going home with a point.
In terms of starting the season, how much above expectation is this to win your first seven games?
I still think that somebody's going to wake me up, and we're about to play Carlisle on the first day of the season. It all doesn't feel real, to be honest.
And tell me about Mooney and Lisby. Just how good have they been so far?
I'm tempted to have a tattoo of each of them on intimate places of my body. I think that says it all, really. They're incredible. Lisby is playing like a 21-year-old, even though he's, you know, 15 years older than that. And Mooney, well, he's just an Orient legend now.
Usually with most clubs, you'll have your one focal striker who is obviously putting the goals away, but to have two is absolutely unbelievable. But you know, it's not about two players. The whole team have been absolutely immense. Every single position has been flawless. So
are there a couple of maybe unsung heroes that people don't really know about who've been doing well?
Roman Vincelot has probably got to be our key performer this season. He's been absolutely, he's bossed everything from his position. He chases down literally every single ball. He's been absolutely fantastic. He's such a great acquisition for the club.
Given the start you've had, what do you think is an acceptable goal this season?
Oh, well, we've nearly been playoffs every single season, so playoffs has got to be definite this year.
And how impressed have you been by the way you started and Russell Sledge? I know a couple of years ago he was under a little bit of pressure, but this has been some run since the start of the season.
Well, given his record, you know, he doesn't really start off seasons really well, to be fair. You know, we're just amazed. You know, can't say much more, really.
Well, I'm not quite sure about getting a tattoo of Kevin Lisby and David Mooney on my arse, but it has been a great start to the season for Orient. Not quite as good DC for Brentford, though, sitting 10th after their first seven games. Would you, you know, is that about par, do you think, the way they've started, or would you have expected them to be a little bit higher?
Well, I think I would have expected them to be a little bit higher, to be honest. Given how close they came to promotion last season, I don't know whether there's been a bit of a psychological hangover in terms of getting themselves up for the new season, you know, when most of these players probably thought they'd be playing in the Championship this season after what happened last year. But, you know, they've got one of the best squads in the league. You know, they've retained, with the exception of Harry Forrester, who went off to join their conquerors, Doncaster. They've basically got the same squad as last season. They've added to it as well in a few key areas. So
they brought Trotter back as well.
Absolutely. I mean, and you've got the likes of Martin Taylor's playing tonight, who's very experienced. Yeah, League One, still a very good player. So I think they could be expected to certainly be higher. Will Grigg, they brought in from Walsall as well. He had a fantastic season for Walsall last season. So I think they would have expected to be slightly higher at the table at this stage. But it's early days. The table's still quite congested. A couple, you know, get 3 points here tonight, win a couple of games on the spin, and you'll soon be right up there. So no
reason for them to panic at all yet.
Well, before the game, we spoke to some Brentford fans and got their take on their start to the season.
Started great.
10th? Surely you'd think you'd be a bit higher.
Oh, yeah, it started great. It's just we fell off the cliff then, and now we're hoping it starts again tonight.
Brand new issue of Thorn in the Side out tonight. 250 your Brentford fanzine. Richard Hester, co-editor of Brentford fanzine Thorn in the Side. I think if we win tonight, then it's a fairly decent start. But on the flip side of that, if we lose tonight, I think everyone would be saying it's been a fairly poor start to the season, considering the amount of money that we've spent.
And does it concern you that in the last two games, I think you've conceded 7 goals in 2 games?
Yeah, it always concerns me. Yeah, considering the amount of defenders that we've got on the books, I don't think we quite know who our best back four are at the moment.
I think we'll get better, yeah, I think we will. It's a little, but we only lost one game, but we've the team has changed around all the time, and I did read something about Orient a couple of weeks ago, one of their match reports. They had 7 players who started all 5 games at that point or something. They've got a settled team and a good team, and I think, yeah, I'm a bit apprehensive about the season, to be honest. Yeah.
I'm Nick Bruzon, Brentford supporter and author of The Last Word. Well, obviously I'd have loved to have won 7 games in a row, but at the end of the day it's only 7 games, it's not the season. And, you know, the team have had a few changes, positive changes. They're starting to gel very well, and I think you'll see tonight an exciting attacking Brentford lineup.
And who are the players that have impressed you most so far this season? Anyone that's coming in the summer been particularly good? Or
not so much the new arrivals who have been good, but Adam Forshaw in the midfield, who was great last season, has just really, really stepped up his game fantastically. Shay Logan as well at right back. They're the two men for me so far this season. And it's great to see Brentford playing with attacking full backs again. And it's almost a shame Jake Bidwell on the left side got injured, because all of a sudden you had Shay and Jake pushing up the flanks. Not so much anymore, but certainly Shay is the man at the moment.
Given how close you came last season, Nick, to going up this season, has Uwe Rosler had to instill a bit more belief in the players? Or has they got, from the start of the season, they managed to believe that they can do it this season? Or is it the dreaded hangover that they're starting to suffer, given that they are so far off Leyton Orient already?
I was worried about that as well, but I'll answer that question by, you look at the Sheffield United game. They were neck and neck with Brentford last season. They really were our arch rivals, and we absolutely trounced them 3-1, and 3 was generous to them, quite frankly. It could have been 5 or 6. So no, they've carried on where they left off. Had a hiccup at Bradford, albeit thanks to a very dubious red card for the goalkeeper, so you're always on the back foot then when you're down to 10 men and no recognised keeper. But I'm happy with how it's gone, and I think it will get better.
I think we can pick up ground. I think we'll do better as time goes on. I think maybe there's a little bit of a hangover from last season, even though we've got a couple of new players in. I think there may be a bit of a hangover. Let's face it, it's playoffs, isn't it? We all know that. It's playoffs.
Are you confident that you can be up there again at the end of the season, though? Do you think Ross is the man to... You came so close last year, didn't you? It was ludicrous, really.
Yeah, I feel sorry for Uwe, actually, because, I mean, he should be a promotion-winning manager, really. I mean, I know you can say, well, if he'd been maybe a bit adventurous, a few more away games, we might not have needed that last game. But, I do feel a bit sorry for him, really. I think, you know, he's... But, yeah, I think we can... As I say, I think we'll make the playoffs. I think we're a bit off, certainly at the moment, a bit off top 2 places, I think.
Are you still confident, though, that you can finish sort of around about where you finished last year?
Yeah, I want to finish one higher than last year, but yeah, we should be top 2. We're by far the best team on our day in the division, so I think that's what everyone's a little bit frustrated about.
So the thoughts of the Brentford fans there on a tricky start to the season for Uwe Rosler. And you can hear the Orient fans singing at the moment. In just a minute, you're going to be able to hear highlights of this game in League One described by us three. But first, a live version of my club celebrating 125 years of the Football League. 125 seconds on Brentford.
This is We Are Going Up. My club in 125 seconds.
Hi, my name is Steve Lewis. My club is Brentford.
Okay, Steve, can you remember your first ever game at Griffin Park?
1969, home v Notts County, goalless draw.
Wow. And your best moment as a Brentford fan?
Best moment was winning promotion at Peterborough in 1980.
He's looking to his mate for support.
83. We went to the Championship.
And I'm not even sure I need to ask this after the end of last season, but your worst moment as a Brentford
worst
fan?
Worst moment, Marcelo Trotta missing the penalty. Without any question, supporting Brentford for over 30 years.
And in all your time as a Brentford fan, who's the best player you've seen wear the red and white?
My God, that's going to take...
Is there a standout player you've always worshipped?
Yeah, well, Stan Bowles in his heyday when he came down here on loan at the end of his career was absolutely fantastic. I think Bowles and Hurlock for our 19th 18 Sevens midfield take some beating as a standout moment for, as a Brentford fan.
And in terms of the managers that you've had manage this club, is there any one that you would look back on fondly more than any other?
Fondly, let me think. We've had a bit of a roller coaster. Best manager, Sean, gonna have to give me a hand on this one.
Well, it's toss up between Bill Dodgin,
yes,
Junior, and Steve Coppell.
Steve Coppell probably nicks it for me. The irony is, the guy that gave my favourite moment was then fired at the end of the following season, Phil Holder, who was a little bit unlucky to get fired, to be honest.
And in terms of the start of the season you've made,
yes,
are you happy over? I mean, what are your expectations for the season?
Expectations were automatic promotion, no question whatsoever. Very disappointing start. Don't feel that the manager knows what his best 11 is at the moment. The squad is exceptionally large. There's a lot of talent out there, but it needs to gel.
Brilliant, chaps. Your 2 minutes is up. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed.
My club in 125 seconds. We are going up. We've got the Football League covered.
Here we go then. Hopefully this is going to be a classic, and we're off. The away fans are in good voice.
Yeah, very good spirit. It's not a long trip for them. Quick hop along on the central line, Piccadilly lines. Not too far a journey for them. We're kind of sat amongst a small collection of Brentford fans here, very close to Leinoria fans, and I think we're fighting a losing battle here. There's about two dozen Brentford fans and a good few hundred Leinoria fans if there was about to be some kind of aggro.
Chance. Oh, he's in. Was he pulled back there?
Surging run from the central defender. Everyone thought he was going to shoot. Lovely little 1-2. Couldn't quite get his foot on the ball though. I don't think he was pulled back.
There's something very pleasingly traditional about this game that we're at tonight. A number of things strike me. First being the Leighton Orient centre-half, Matteo Baudry, number 6, sporting a Terry Butcher-esque white headband. No, there's no Wayne Rooney-esque special head protection here. Just a good old-fashioned bandage, and he's still heading balls for fun. You've got four wonderful floodlights, in which I very much navigated myself to the ground from the station to this evening, towering above the local houses here in Brentford. You've also got a number, especially in this stand, a number of pillars and pylons that we every now and again have to peer around the left or right of to see where the ball is, which, you know, in the days of modern stadia, you don't get. And I actually, even though they are a bit annoying from time to time, I think they are a reassuring comfort.
DC's getting involved in the spirit of things here. I thought you were a resident of East London, singing Uwe Ross's Barmy Army.
You should be a Leinorian supporter.
When in Brentford.
Can I just say, by the way, that Russell Slade strikes me as a man who, even in the depths of winter, will still be wearing his baseball cap.
Absolutely. He's very much taken over from Tony Pulis now as the English football's premier baseball cap wearer. Brentford's number 19, Martin Filho, or Filho, is actually on loan from Manchester City's Champions League opponents of last week, Victoria Pilsen.
Wow. And while we're on the vaguely on the subject of European football, you've spotted someone on your way into the ground.
Yeah, the Royal Antwerp manager, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank, is at Griffin Park tonight.
Who's he scouting then? Who's he looking at? Kevin Lisby, surely not. Half an hour gone, it's still Brentford 0, Leighton Orient 0. Pretty even so far?
I'd say Brentford just shading it. Had a few half chances. Adam Forshaw now, the impressive Adam Forshaw with a corner.
Right in front of us. Deep.
Oh!
That's gone over the stands.
Centre-half, Harley Dean, who had the chance earlier on with the centre-half's finish there. It has gone out of the ground. A shot on the turn at about the penalty spot. It's a good chance.
If you're flying from Heathrow now, probably get a good view of that. As we were saying, though, to those fans outside, Brentford have conceded 7 goals in their last 2 games. I know they were going to 10 men against Brentford quite a lot of that 4-0 defeat, but Orient are absolutely flying, but not really created a clear-cut chance yet, I don't think.
No, well, it's Brentford with the home team under the lights, as you'd expect, with all the pressure so far. They've had half chances, they've had more of the possession, they're looking to get Grigg and Donaldson involved in the game, trying to get them to hold it up and bring the others into the game. I think Forshaw and Diego Ruga are controlling much of the game from the middle of the park for Brentford, and Leighton Orient have had the odd chance here and there. They do look confident when they have the ball, but they simply haven't seen enough of it yet.
Well, there's a break in play. for those who are aware of the geography of Griffin Park, we're in the Bill Axby stand. Not a name that meant anything to me. I don't know about you two. So I thought I'd have a quick Google to see who Bill Axby was. And he often stands are named after great players or great managers of clubs. No, not Mr. Axby. He was Brentford's most famous fan. He died in 2007 at the age of 102. He was born 3 months before Brentford moved to Griffin Park.
The crowd have provided it.
Absolutely, and he is primarily a celebrity fan. He's born, the Bees moved to Griffin Park in August 1904.
This is a proper history lesson, though.
For the first game.
Well, I'm not entirely so. Apparently, he started watching him in 1918.
Clayton Donaldson trying to shamelessly buy a free kick there. Unlike all these Brentford fans, he's not getting past me. He went down as if he had been fouled there, as if he'd been pushed in the back by the centre half. I think it's what's known in the business as a Sheringham.
I tell you what, right? I was just about to say, there is nothing that football fans love more than abusing a linesman. And the chaps around us here have really got a thing about this guy.
And he does look, you know, he's balding. He doesn't look particularly confident. He's trotting up and down the line with all the grace of an old schoolmaster in PE. He's a classic textbook linesman. And he's certainly in for it tonight from the Bill Axby faithful.
Was he pulled back there? Oh, there was a definite hand on his shoulder.
I think it could have been a foul, though, against Brentford in the build-up. I think Grigg pulled back the defender, but that wasn't given. And then I think maybe the referee was evening up there with Donaldson. He still managed to get a connection on the ball, though. It wasn't quite enough as he was falling down. It went wide of the post, but certainly a contentious decision.
If he gives that, he's got to give him a red card as well.
He does, indeed. You're quite right.
Ball's pinging around the Brentford area. And it goes. Oh, great chance. Clear header, 6-yard box. And I can't see a thing because my eyesight's so bad, so I've no idea who missed that.
I'm pretty sure that was David Mooney. In the form he's been in, you'd expect him to put that one away. It's a very good chance. I think Lisby put a good ball in. Very good chance for Leighton Orient.
I think that's answered my question. Brilliant. David Mooney, he used to be shy, now he's all right, walking in a Mooney wonderland. It hasn't been the greatest game so far, but we've just been informed there's an additional couple of minutes at the end of the first half, however.
Well, yeah, I agree. It's kind of dragging a little bit because the clock down to our end here says that only 42 minutes have gone so far, and they've decided to give 1 minute of additional time already. So I think they've just given up on this half and they call it off as a bad job and we'll start again in 15 minutes.
There we go. Half-time score at Griffin Park is Brentford 0, Leighton Orient 0. What have you made of that first half, DC?
Well, I think Brentford have just shaded it there. I mean, Leighton Orient had their moments. They had a couple of half chances here and there, but Brentford certainly had more chances. And then the Orient keeper, Jamie Jones, has had to make a number of saves. Comfortable saves, most of them granted, but still he's had to make them. And I think the Brentford players will walk off this pitch happier than the Orient ones, certainly given Orient's form so far this season.
It was Elton John a couple of weeks ago, it's Paul McCartney now. And I'll tell you what, speaking about things at grounds that you like, everyone's walking the complete length of the pitch. The dugout's on the opposite side to the tunnel, brilliant.
I bet the grounds was having an absolute nightmare every week. We'll get off my pitch. I'd echo what Dave said. Both keepers, Jamie Jones and Richard Lee, have gone and been tested from distance, and that's about it, really. I mean, you could argue it's becoming a half where both teams have thought, well, we don't want to lose the game. Leighton Orient have no reason to think so. Their tail should be up given their form. I don't really think the Brentford game needs to be celebrated with Hey Jude at the moment. I don't think it's been that great a half of football.
That's what I love about lower league grounds as well. They've clearly had this on pause since the start of the game and they've just pressed play again.
For the game to look forward to against Shrewsbury Town, a chance to bring a friend, relatives, everybody you know down your street. It costs you just £1, a minimum of £1.
Wow.
You pay whatever you so wish, a
minimum of £1. You pay anything you like.
It's like Radiohead.
Well, I also made the point that invite anyone down your street, he also asked. Oh, bring all of them. Bring the guys at number 42 that you never met before. So if you want to come along, it's only £1.
Right, second half's just underway. Dave, you spotted something at half-time. What have you spotted?
Well, followers of the popular Twitter account, Full Kit Wankers, will be pleased to know that just to our left, although I do feel slightly harsh because he's only a young child, so perhaps doesn't deserve quite as much criticism as the grown men featured on that account, but there is a child in full goalkeeper's kit, short socks, kit and everything. Name on the back, number one.
What child gets a goalkeeper's kit? No child gets a goalkeeper. No one wants to be a goalkeeper.
I blame the parents. Yeah. They should be giving him better guidance in this.
I'll tell you another good thing about low league grounds. This is from a man who spent many a year in the stand like this, virtually half empty, is you can always move from where you're sitting based on which end your team are attacking. For example, there's a couple of chaps to our right who've disappeared now because they've gone down the other end to see the goal that Brentford are attacking. Don't get that in the Premier League.
Just to our left, there's a man eating a pie. The smell is irresistible, just wafting over. It smells like, I think,
it's steak pie. It looks like a steak pie, looking at the colour. Even that,
could be steak and kidney, I think, there, yeah.
Could ask for a bite.
But interestingly enough, he's taken the top of the crust off. Rather than biting into it whole, he's taken the top of the pie off and is now almost using it as sort of a bowl.
It's like a low
scooping the meat out with a fork.
Like a low-carb pie.
There are lots of carbs in that pie. Don't worry about that. Excellent. A young boy, he cannot be more than 8 years old, has just shouted at the linesman, "Oi, Spaz!"
We're quite end-to-end in the second half, actually. Certainly livened up a bit. I hope we're not going to get a 0-0 draw. Especially for you. You come all the way from East London.
I think now you said that, we probably are.
Penalty's been given.
He's given a penalty. And the two, it was David Mooney, who's a player that's been adjudged to have been brought down. And to be honest, it looks like it was 50-50. They were both tugging at each other's shirts, and Mooney's eventually gone down, and Shellam Logan's been booked. He's the one who's been adjudged to have made the foul. Debatable, but I mean, you know,
there wasn't that many complaints.
Seeing it with the naked eye, obviously on the replay, it may be more clear. But I think it was 50-50 there. Really,
I'd have to go in favour of. I'd say that was a penalty.
So it's penalty. He's taken that. I can't quite see from here.
And then that is David Mooney.
Okay, it's Mooney.
Dusted himself off to take it.
Referee wants to re-spotted.
Richard Lee in the Brentford goals got a decent record at saving penalties. He was their hero in a penalty shootout a few seasons ago, I seem to remember, in the League Cup, I believe. Or was it all in the JPT as they went to the JPT final?
Yeah, balls had to be re-spotted. Donaldson's been over there. Here we go then. The reaction of the Orient fans near us is going to tell you whether this goes in or not. David Mooney to make it 1-0 to Orient. And it goes.
Oh, and there's a flare on the pitch.
There's a flare on the pitch. They cannot stop scoring. They've taken the lead. I'm not sure they deserve it on the balance of play, but put that away well, didn't he? Right in the corner.
Yeah, right down to the goalkeeper's right.
Yeah.
Wouldn't mind raining on Leighton Orient's parade just for a moment, but there were about six players in the box when the penalty was struck. Just saying, you know.
Chance. Oh!
That is a great save by Richard Lee. He's tipped the shot in from Moses Adebeju.
What an
effort. At number 11. He cut inside on his left foot and hit a shot. Was going for the top corner, but Lee at full stretch gets a fingertip and it goes over the bar.
Must admit, I thought that had gone straight over. Great save.
Chances.
Well, I have noticed as well from a tactical point of view, Eros is not afraid to push Will Grigg all over the pitch, really. We started off the game with him up front, played on Donaldson playing kind of on the left, and they kind of swapped that round to put the archetypal big man up front. And Grigg is going from flank to flank, trying to latch onto anything, but just isn't working at the moment, unfortunately.
You have to regig on zonal marking or something. Trotter's coming on. Swindon fan call. Double change by Juve. Really going for this now with 15 minutes left.
Another thing that's nice about coming to games in League One and below, is the huge diversity of sponsors that you can see on the advertising hoardings around the ground. You know, you're fed up of seeing your Champions League matches with your electronic board surrounded by Gazprom advertisements or such like. Well, you've got, just to give you a flavour of the things we can see, we've got the Chiswick Moran Hotel. We've got Rod Smith Recycling Limited. We've got the Dara Tandoorian Curry Restaurant.
Material Recovery Solutions over there. Royal Material Recovery Solutions.
They are late in Orient. They are top of the league. And there's 10 minutes to go. And not really any sign at the moment that Brentford are going to get this equaliser. A couple of long balls just pumped aimlessly into the box in the last 10 minutes, which is a bit worrying if you're a Brentford fan.
Yeah, I think the late in Orient goal is not the stuffing out of Brentford, really. They were, I'd say, marginally the better side up until that point now. But late in Orient looking a lot more confident. They're coming forward, playing a little bit more football in Brentford's half now. And Brentford, as you say, they're looking increasingly desperate. Uwe Rosler's made all his substitutions, bringing on Marcelo Trotter for one, and you know it's looking desperate. Time's running out for Brentford now. 9 minutes left, and Leighton Orient are making a substitution themselves now.
Kevin Lisby's going off,
and the boos are ringing out now as he makes the customarily slow walk off the pitch when you're leading 1-0 with 9 minutes to go. And on comes, I believe, Sean Batt,
yeah,
who is the player that was signed for Leighton Orient after a conversation was initiated on That's Twitter right, with yeah. Barry Hearn.
That's right, yeah. It's 2-0, and you know who scored.
And it's Sean Batt, the substitute, who's come on an immediate impact.
He's right in front of us now. Get your phones out, lads. Someone take a picture. Right in front of us, the Orient players, on top of the corner flag. They lead by 2-0. Ball through the heart of the penalty area. Sean Batt has driven it past the goalkeeper, Richard Lee, into the back of the net. It's going to be 8 wins in a row to start the new season. There is no team in England in better form than this team. 8 wins in a row. When does this end? How many games do they win in a row? And the record's like 11 or something, you were telling me, isn't it?
I'm not off the top of my head. That's just what I've got in the back of my mind. I think it might be 11, and on this form, who's betting against them doing it?
I think they're happy with Sean Batt. He's been on the pitch a couple of minutes and he put that away. So the Orient fans have just been singing some not particularly friendly chants about Boris Johnson. And I was just actually thinking, what have they got against Boris Johnson? Oh, the Olympic Stadium. I see.
Well, you initially thought they were chanting against the Sky Sports reporter Brian Swanson, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
It was the more baffling.
Some of the great misheard chants. Brentford 0, Leighton Orient 2, 5 points clear now at Peterborough, top of League 1, 8 wins out of 8. And on the balance of play, second half, do you think they deserved it?
I think they do, yeah. I mean, Brentford were probably slightly the better side in the first half. They came out reasonably strongly in the second half, but as soon as Leighton Orient got that penalty, Brentford had absolutely no answer to, no reply to going a goal down. Leighton Orient looked more confident, they played better football, they kept the ball better, they looked more inventive, and then they got the second goal, a good move, finished off well by Sean Batt, the substitute, and, you know, comfortable really in the end for Leighton Orient.
Clinical when they got those chances.
Absolutely, very much so. And although it is still early in the season, it makes you wonder what they can do this year. 8 wins out of 8, coming to a place like Brentford and putting in a performance like that, it can only bode well for them the rest of the season.
So we've retreated inside to the Griffin, which is one of the 4 pubs on the corner of on the corners of Griffin Park, and we've just actually seen the replay of the penalty incident. DC, what do you make having seen it again?
Well, pretty much as what I said when I saw it first time round. You know, initially Logan is very much, you know, got hold of David Mooney's shirt and he's pulling him, but then as they move into the box, Logan sort of moves off him, and then you can see from the camera angle looking down the pitch from the other end, Mooney, perhaps unbeknownst to the referee, has a real handful of Logan's shirts. They're both pulling each other down, and when he goes down, it looks like he's gone down a long time after he was actually being pulled. So I think he's done one over there on the referee, and I would not have given that as a penalty.
It was a great moment there where Uwe Rosler's post-match interview on Sky was played in the pub, and the whole pub went shh and was very quiet of it.
It was like a ministerial speech, and all of a sudden that was going out. I mean, I must admit, I thought when watching it, it was a penalty, and Uwe Rosler admitted that in the post-match interview. He thought it was, but then he admitted looking back at it, and I'd agree, it was six of one, half a dozen of the other. And Uwe Rosler rightly point out though, but Logan was in completely the wrong position, and they were the team that made the first mistake, and ultimately it cost them the match.
Okay, well, we might be outside and not in the studio this week, but we're still going to do our little 10-point bulletin, or try to, while Carl subs his Fosters and Dave has his Coke. We'll start with Jesse Lingard of Birmingham City, online from Manchester United, against a very poor-looking Sheffield Wednesday side who are really struggling at the moment, but he scored a hat-trick within 13 minutes, four goals on his debut, stunning performance.
Absolutely brilliant, yeah, and he had a really good pre-season for Man United as well. He's one of the better performers for on their pre-season tour of the Far East. And a few eyebrows were raised perhaps when he wasn't maybe given a chance in one of the early games this season. But it's a month's loan, so he could maybe even go back to Old Trafford, or as I expect, he'll probably extend his time at Birmingham given how well he did in his first game. Birmingham needed someone that can score goals, and this guy's come in confident, and hopefully he's going to do it more for them. But as you mentioned, a poor Sheffield Wednesday side, they did look very poor indeed. And listening to the post-match interview after the game, I think it may have been one of the reporters from the local radio, BBC local radio up in Sheffield, asked Dave Jones what he'd had to say to the fans that were calling for his head, and Jones went mad and went into a 2 or 3 minute tirade at him, saying, you've got no right to ask me that question, you're trying to drum something up here, you're hiding behind the fans, it's not right, how can you ask me that question? He really had a go at this reporter, to his credit, defended himself, said, I've got to ask it, there are fans who are unhappy, and Jones refuted it and said, there might be a couple of fans, but no, that's bang out of order, and we know what we've got to do here, we're going to dig in, we're going to get it right. But he certainly was very angry, and there's got to be pressure there for Dave Jones.
Both managers in Sheffield really under pressure, because while we mentioned Sheffield Wednesday, Sheffield United lost 1-0 again at home to Preston, and an interesting move they've made this week, Carl, is to bring in Marlon King as their new signing. And this debate always is quite an interesting one for football fans. John Ashdown wrote a piece on this a few years ago when King signed for another club. I can't remember who it was at the time, but yeah, if you were a Sheffield United fan and Marlon King came in, you badly need goals, but he's a man who's had multiple run-ins with the law. How would you feel?
Yeah, well, more and more clubs do have this kind of experience. Lee Hughes is an obvious. I'm sure Dave will have a point to make on this as well. Swindon have obviously got Noel Ranger at the moment, from my own personal point of view. If he keeps himself out of trouble and he scores goals, fans are going to accept him as one of their own, and they'll take him on side. And Marlon King, you'd like to think, would score goals. I'm sure Dave would probably agree that he may be getting on a little bit now, but he has got the goals in him to help them out.
Absolutely, and certainly at that level he will score goals, because he is a very, very good centre forward, very good at holding the ball up, probably not as quick as he used to be, but an excellent finisher. But the argument about whether or not to sign Marlon King is one, as Carl said, that will rage on as long as he keeps playing professional football. And this time last year I was having a similar conversation with you about Troy Deeney, who was in prison at the start of the season, came out and was a star of Watford's season last year. And the thing with the difference perhaps in this case is that Marlon King's a repeat offender. He's been behind bars twice in his career. He's a string of misdemeanours on his record, some of them for real violent crimes, not something you want to be associated with. And there is a moral question, do you want to be cheering on this guy? Obviously people come out of prison and they have a right to earn a living, and they do their time and then they're back out in society, fair enough. But it's a question of kids are going to be idolising this guy, cheering him on from the stands. Yeah. And that's when you get into the murky territory of, do you really want to be worshipping this guy? But there's not much we can do about it. Football clubs will sign him as long as they need goals, and he will probably score goals for Sheffield United.
Okay, let's stick in League One with a side who got promoted from League Two last year, promoted as champions, Martin Allen, who we actually had on the show last year when you interviewed him. Gillingham, well, they've started badly, no wins in 8 games, they lost the last 4, in fact no wins in 11 in the league, because they didn't win in the last 3 games last season either. Really finding it tough at that level.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, they had such a really, really strong home record last season, didn't they? I mean, they were good home and away, obviously going up as champions, but you know, they're very tight, very solid, very difficult to beat, and that doesn't look, you know, the step up to League One, that's gone this season. It was a very, very poor goal. A goal that you wouldn't expect Martin Allen's side to concede. It was a goal from a corner, and it was a poor corner from Bradford as well. Bounced at the near post and got flicked in. You know, there was no one attacking the ball from Gillingham's side. You know, set pieces, you expect them to be good. You know, they were very tight, very well drilled last season. So it doesn't look like things are going well for them in League One. And, you know, Martin Allen will be concerned.
Well, it's not just Gillingham, though. A team promoted into League One who are struggling, though, because it's some of the teams that have come down as well. Well, most notably Bristol City, who haven't won a game, I don't think, yet, back in League One. They had a big sort of derby game at Swindon at the weekend, which your side won 3-2. Your side is, if you're the manager, your team won 3-2. It's really weird, though, isn't it? Because they, from what you were saying last week on the show, Dave, when you went to the Bristol Derby, they look good, but they just can't get it together in the league.
I'd like to say personal credit, because I had a tenner on Bristol City to win that game. That way you kind of win either way. Swindon, I'm surprised, actually. It is a derby game. We've not played them all that much in recent years, because we've fluctuated between the leagues and kind of missed each other on the way. But Bristol City themselves, a team which I think most of us would have backed to be doing quite well this season under the age-old formula of Sean O'Driscoll being oh so good, and yet his reputation is starting to get a little bit more battered. It's still early days, but you're right, they haven't won a game yet. 4 points out of their first 8 games. People like Sam Baldock up front, who I think I tipped to be top goal scorer, so that meant he was always going to have a terrible season. They should not be down there.
Well, like you said, I was very impressed with them when I saw them in the Bristol Derby. They had a real willingness to play football. You know, J. Emmanuel Thomas scored a belter that night. He scored again at the weekend against Swindon. But I mean, it seems to me that the same old problem is still there in terms of what was happening under Derek McInnes. Remember when Sean came on all that time ago, saying that going forward they haven't got a problem scoring. They're quite a good team and keeping possession and good, comfortable on the ball, and they can create chances, but they just can't keep the ball out of their own net. They concede too many goals, and that's still what's happening.
That was the case actually against Swindon. You look at the goals there, and it's some awfully sloppy goals. Well, their centre back Aidan Flint, who was at Swindon last season, the fans took very kindly to him having an absolute nightmare, having scored the first goal for City. Had an absolute nightmare, and he's not had a very good season yet at all. He's a very good player, but you're right, Dave, defensively they are absolutely shambolic at the moment.
Nicky Bloodier Josie scoring twice as well. How many clubs has that man had?
Yeah.
And speaking of shambolic goals to concede, we've got to tip our hat to the Northampton defender Matthias Diumbe, away at Mansfield. This is a thing of beauty if you haven't seen this own goal.
It is absolutely superb. I mean, it's one of those own goals that, you know, you would say a forward would be proud to score. A big ball lofted forward from Mansfield, and I don't know what he was trying to do with it. I imagine he was trying to hook it back over his head, but it's just got the technique completely wrong, and he's caught it on the volley, and just a beautiful lob over his own keeper into the back of the net. An absolute shocker, but a brilliant own goal.
Last week we had Ted Robinson from the Millwall Supporters Club on the show, which you will have heard if you listened, and he was saying that if Steve Lomas had a bad week, he could be out of a job, or if he had a good week, then all would be rosy. He's had a very good week, beating Blackpool, who were top of the league, 3-1, and then a big derby victory, 1-0 at Charlton in a scrappy game on Saturday. But yeah, all looks a lot better now if you're a Millwall fan.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it was a good performance from them against Blackpool. Yeah, a great third goal in particular, Steve Morrison coming back from injury, coming off the bench to score that third goal and seal the 3 points. You know, you could feel the relief, you know, watching those highlights and hearing the crowd. You can feel the relief down at the Den when they got that victory. And then, you know, they were probably just about the best team, you know, as you say, a very scrappy, very poor game on Saturday lunchtime against Charlton. You know, a deflected goal from Scott McDonald, but they managed to hold on. Yeah, but they were trying to play a bit of football, to Steve Lamas's credit. Better football, perhaps, than they were playing under Kenny Jackett towards the back end of last season. You know, they were two massive results. The pressure's eased off him slightly now, but he's, you know, got to keep the momentum going and move them further up that table.
Down the bottom, one manager who's under huge pressure now, and that's Dougie Freedman. We'll come on to QPR, the opposite end, in a minute. But yeah, Bolton have still not won a game, and they are rock bottom now. And this is a worse start this season than they had last season. So I think you can rule out any sort of hopes of automatic promotion already.
Yeah, again, we'd have all tipped them probably at the start of the season with that squad they've got as well. And I know one of you guys have mentioned it on a previous pod this season, how Dougie Freedman's now looking on probably in envy Crystal Palace being there in the Premier League. I don't understand what could have possibly gone wrong at Bolton. I mean, look at the momentum they had last season, just missing
missing out on the playoffs, obviously, but having extra momentum, which, you know, they wouldn't have had the heartbreak, for example, as Brentford had, as we've been here tonight talking about how they've missed out in the playoffs through the final. But they've got there and they've got, right, we can build this season, lads, and all of a sudden they've come out looking as if they don't know what they're doing, as if last season, the second half of last season, never happens, and they've just kind of kicked off as they were about 10 games in last year.
Friedman himself is kind of said what's going wrong, and that seems to be motivation of some of the players. I mean, he drops that night after he made a number of errors, and he's questioned the motivation and the mentality of some of his players that he signed, no less. He's saying that he now needs to bring in a couple of players on loan. Well, he signed 10 players in the summer, plus a few that he signed in January last season, so this is his team. Yeah. You know he's had time now to bring in his own players. He's had, you know, coming up for a year in a job not too soon, and he hasn't really got much of an excuse, Dougie Friedman. And it's, you know, whenever you see the headline that Friedman refuses to walk away, you know the writing's on the wall. You know, he's going to need to pull out some results pretty quickly, because there are expectations of that football club for them to be up towards the other end of the division, and they are languishing at the moment.
Well, right at the other end of the division, top of the shop, 8 games unbeaten, including 5 1-0 victories and an exceptional defensive record, you've got to say, even if they're not setting the division alight perhaps as they did a couple of years ago when they won the league. Our QPR 1-0 victory at Yeovil on Saturday, Charlie Austin with a penalty. Yeovil did look unlucky in the highlights from this, but I mean, you've just got to look at that defensive record to see how, you know, strongly QPR have started.
Well, a Harry Redknapp team's not necessarily known for their, you know, 1-0 solid defensive performances, are they?
I mean, to be precise, it's 8 goals in 8 games. They find themselves top of the league. I mean, that's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, but I mean, they have got a good defence. You know, you've got to look at Rob Green. He's probably one of the best keepers in the division. Richard Dunn has been very solid for them since he's been brought in. Ned Manua's there.
Bemarasa, Okotta is there. Even Clint Hill is going to do a job.
There's bags of Premier League experience, you know, within that. And then their team and their squad, you know, with the comings and goings in the summer, still might not be one of the biggest, but it's certainly one of the most quality packed squads in the division. Redknapp's still moaning as he does, you know, as ever, in terms of saying he needs to get more people in, needs more strikers. He's only really got Charlie Austin fit and firing at the moment. They did look a bit fortunate, I think, for me on the Saturday against Yeovil. It was one of their, not their best performance of the season so far, but they won 1-0, and that is the hallmark of a team that will be up there come the end of the season.
Okay, a couple of quick more points before we leave it there. 2 exceptional goals for Forest away at Doncaster at the weekend. Chris Cohen and Andy Reid with a trademark beauty, and they've taken Chalabar, haven't they, from Chelsea on loan, Forest, which is a good signing for them.
A very good signing indeed, you know, making, you know, what was already a strong midfield stronger and compensating for the loss of Adelaide Gedioro, who's gone to Crystal Palace. He was excellent for Watford last season. There were moments here and there where you saw his inexperience shining through, but he will have learned so much from playing the 40 odd games as he did for Watford last season. You know, now, which is the disappointing thing really, we spent a year developing a player who has now come back to play for one of our main rivals for promotion. But then on the flip side of that, Watford didn't get Chalabar back, and the reason is because Chelsea wanted Forrest or whoever it was to pay his full £30,000 a week wages, and that's how much money he's on for a 19 year old, which is crazy. But Watford have got Josh McEachran on loan, 38 games I think it was, or there or thereabouts, in Middlesbrough last season. But he's a player that, you know, when Carlo Ancelotti was Chelsea manager, he was getting first team appearances quite a lot, and he was the next big thing in English football, but he's since been forgotten about really. So it's an important season for McEachran, and I don't think he's guaranteed a starting place in our team. We've got a very strong midfield, a lot of midfield, and we have 3 midfielders, you know, and there's only 3 spots each week, and I don't know if he'll get in the team every week. He's probably going to play against Norwich in the League Cup this week, so if he makes a good impact first time round, then hopefully he'll be able to get into the team. But it's a big season for McEachran.
The last point has got to be Curtis Main's open goal miss for Shrewsbury against Wolves. You will not see a worse miss than that in the Football League this season. Good luck to some of the Football League teams playing in the Capital One Cup midweek. We've got a good game actually between Burnley and Forest, 2 of the Championship's informed teams. Wigan go to Manchester City, Bristol City at Saints, Peterborough you'd really fancy away at Sunderland, and your boy Swindon taking on Chelsea.
Not holding out much hope, but who knows, supposedly Chelsea are in crisis. You know, they are what, 3rd in the Premier League, and that means they're in crisis. As long as we don't get absolutely turned over 6-0, if we score that'll be great. I generally don't know, we are in a decent enough run of form, we're scoring goals, we put in a decent enough performance, if over TV cameras I'd be happy.
Okay, that's pretty much it, unless you've got one more thing to say.
One more thing to say, I think we should jump down into League 2, the top of League 2. Chesterfield winning 1-0 against who were going into the match the second place team, Oxford United. The goal scored by the evergreen Richie Humphreys, obviously signing for them from Hartlepool this summer. And he scored the goal the day after his wife gave birth to a baby girl. He came down for the game, obviously probably would have had a sleepless night the night before, you know, that whole, the whole emotions that would have come with seeing your child being born. And he scores the winning goal against Oxford United, now Chesterfield sitting pretty and top of League Two. So a great day for Humphreys, great day for Chesterfield.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for listening to this different We Are Going Up this week, live from Griffin Park. And we should finish by paying tribute to Leighton Orient. 8 wins out of 8 games. It doesn't get much better than that. An absolutely stunning start to the season. And surely from here, they've got to be looking to get promoted.
Of course, absolutely. If you start the season in the way they've done, you know, they've beaten anything that's come before them. They've now beaten one of the, you know, the best teams in the division last season comfortably away from home in Brentford. You know, there shouldn't be any team in this league that Leighton Orient line up against that they think we can't beat. You know, obviously, they're not going to win every game in the whole season, but they've put a marker down in the sand now. Their confidence will be sky high, and Russell Slade will be saying to his players, look, you've proven to everyone, you've proven to the nation, he's still the only team in the country with 100% winning record. There's no reason why we cannot go up, you know, automatically this season.
Okay, right, well, if you would like to read all the various blogs there online at wearegoingup.co.uk, you can subscribe on iTunes as ever, or go to soundcloud.com/wagyupodcast, and you can see a couple of pictures that we took tonight. Including, did you get that shot of the corner flag on Twitter?
Of the what?
The shot of the corner flag with all the players there.
Oh yeah, I did, and it's beautifully illustrates what we were saying as well about the pillars as well. Straight down the
all right,
of the photo.
All right, David Bailey.
So you can see that twitter.com/wagyupodcast, and we'll be back from the more familiar surroundings of the studio this time next week.
This is the We Are Going Up podcast. We've got the Football League covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.